FM, the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Darling, it feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun. Here comes the sun. I say it's all right. Darling, the smile keeps turning.
Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're back in some sort of fashion, I guess. My name is Paul Molloy. I'm getting terrible feedback, but that's the way it goes right now. We are back on the air after over a week of trouble. We didn't get directly hit by lightning, but a lightning strike hit us and knocked off our transmitter, and then we had an issue with our microphones, apparently. Right now, Ed's in here helping me out. We're getting some bad feedback here. Sounds like I'm in a hailstorm. I don't know if it's going to get any better. All right, it's a little bit better. Thank you, Ed.
Is that better?
Yeah, much better. Ed came in here and did his magic. Thank you, Ed. Yeah. He's our jack of all trades. We are thankful that you're back with us, and we apologize. Today we got a lot going on. It is indeed Monday, September the 19th, along with Big Ed Davis. We thank you so much for being with us. We will be talking in a few minutes with Fred Lucas. He is the author of The Myth of Voter Suppression. And we're going to talk about his book and about what he calls the widespread lies regarding elections in the United States, and the voter ID laws. So I think you're going to find it pretty interesting. Stay tuned for that. And New York, the state of New York, or I should say, I guess, the city of New York, considering legal action against Texas for dropping off migrants in the Big Apple. Ha! Huh. We are going to talk to our eye in the New York northern sky about that, hopefully, a little bit later in the show. Angelo Ceresi. So stay tuned for that as well. And speaking of big cities, a big city mayoral candidate, a Democrat, says she does not feel safe in her own city. Now she's running to be the mayor, and she's a Democrat there. We are going to tell you who it is and why she says that a little bit later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we think it's pretty good. The top 10 colleges with the best free speech environments towards the end of our show. So stay tuned for that as well. By the way, don't forget, Senior Voice America, they're back on too. I just listened to them before I came on. They're great, are they not? Tim Bryce and company, Monday through Friday, they broadcast to you, 8 to 10 a.m. here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. All right, Ed, first of all, I got to tip my hat to Ed. Poor guy. Ed, if I remember right, about 11 days ago, we got hit by lightning. The Thursday prior to a week ago, Friday or something. Anyway,
yep.
You've been running around like the chicken with its head cut off, trying to get everything back in order. And we're getting there. I'm still getting, just so everybody knows, I'm not getting a quality sound in my ears right now, Ed.
Well, neither am I.
But we're back, and I appreciate what you did during all of this time. Yeah, I guess, was there any real, we didn't get a direct hit, right?
I don't know.
Near the transmitter?
I don't know how much more direct you can get when you see outside and everything lights up like it's an apocalypse or, just And then that loud crashing boom, it had to have been right on top of us.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway, thank goodness that we were able to start working again, and every day it'll get a little bit better, hopefully. The Queen. I cannot even remember if she had passed away by the time we did our last show, but she is on her way to Windsor Castle, her final resting place. And it's been a long week for her. She died on September the 8th. What is that? That was 11 days ago, as a matter of fact. And I've never seen such pomp and circumstance in my entire life. They're still carrying the thing on. I think they're slowly making their way to Windsor Castle.
And they're still walking.
Well, they were driving her hearse, you know, for all the miles between Windsor Castle and London. But they must have decided to get out at some point and do the final trek to the castle, because you're right.
Now, is there a spot that she's buried at the castle?
I'm sorry?
Is there a spot that she's buried right there at the castle? Or
is there a spot?
Oh, yeah, I mean, is there a cemetery right there?
Well, they're not going to bury
her in the front
yard. No. She's going to be buried. She's actually, there's a spot. Prince Philip, her husband, is there. And she will be laid to rest.
So it's within the grounds, is what
yes.
I'm saying. Okay,
oh, yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, originally, if you go to, have you ever been to London?
No.
Westminster Cathedral is the resting place for a lot of the monarchy, including the original Queen Elizabeth.
See, now we have big-time dignitaries. They go to Arlington Cemetery, right?
Yes, the Arlington Cemetery is a military.
But even U.S. presidents have their different places.
They do.
Yeah.
Obviously, the family makes the decision. And in this case, Prince Philip and the Queen will be resting there together. All the pomp and circumstances, I say, I've never seen anything like it. She was a much, much beloved woman. And it does, in a way, unite the British, the Kingdom of Britain. They turned their attention to this situation because, my goodness, she was their queen since 1953. We all, there's very few people that even remember the king that are still around. So, all the pomp and circumstance and that will be carried on. I guess the actual burial ceremony, they call that the committal. The committal will take place at St. George's Chapel at 11 a.m. So we're talking about 45 minutes from now. They're a little bit behind schedule. I don't know if that means that they're going to be a little later than that. But I'm sure the Queen will wait. So there's a lot of other things that are going on right now we want to talk to you about. And let me ask Ed and my indulgence to our listening audience. I'm only getting sound out of one ear. Is that what I should expect right now?
Right now, yeah.
Okay. Wasn't sure if my microphone or my headphones should be changed or not. Good old President Biden. Now, you were too busy, Ed, so I got to fill you in. Our beloved president was on 60 Minutes last night.
Yeah, I heard that on the news.
Yeah. And boy, did they give him some rough and tumble questions.
Did they lob the softball high up?
It couldn't have been softer. The guy that was doing the interview, I forget his name.
Yeah.
He's one of the ongoing people on set. He should have put a little button on that says, I vote Democrat, while he was doing the interview.
So we found out what his favorite ice cream is again and stuff like that. How he likes his chicken.
I'm trying to remember the very first question, and I don't remember it, but one of the things that he asked was, how great are you, but basically, for stopping the railroad strike? I mean, it was such a softball question. I didn't hear one word about the border.
I was going to say,
I didn't hear one word about energy.
If I could ask him a question, I would say, if the border is under control and it is closed and people are not just pouring in, why are they showing up in Democratic cities and the Democratic mayors are upset?
It's a very good question. And they actually conducted this interview on Thursday, although they showed it last night, Sunday night. But the border situation, of course, has been ongoing for a long time. I don't know why he could not ask a question about the border. I don't know why he could not ask a question about the cost of gasoline.
No.
Or the involvement. I mean, you got to remember, the last time that Joe Biden took a news conference of any kind, I was in diapers.
Yeah.
And it's been a long time. So, don't you think that they could ask him a question about the shutting down of the pipeline? How about his son, Hunter Biden, and the computer? Couldn't you, if you were a reporter and you really wanted, and you finally got an interview with a guy that has all this going on, don't you think you owe it to the public to ask questions?
Scott Pelley, wasn't it? Is that the name
yes.
of the reporter?
Okay. I believe you're right.
You
it was Scott Pelley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw the one question about Taiwan, and that was it.
Yes, they did ask about Taiwan, and I guess Biden claimed that we would defend it.
Yes. He said if there were some catastrophic war or something like that, something along those lines.
That's
I can't remember
right.
his exact words.
It says here, Biden said that U.S. forces would defend Taiwan in the event of a Chinese invasion. Apparently, his most explicit statement on the issue, drawing an angry response from China, that said it sent the wrong signal for those seeking an independent Taiwan.
And also the COVID question, is the pandemic over with? And he
That's
said,
right.
basically, yes, it is over with.
He did.
It's over
that.
With, but we're just dealing with a couple of cases of COVID.
So let's tear off the masks and everybody go back to school.
But now the White House staff is having to talk back or step back from it, because if he's saying that, then they're not going to get their funds for the pandemic, for the COVID pandemic, which includes the student loan paybacks.
Oh, yes, all kinds
of
complications.
That's part of COVID. That's part of the pandemic, so.
You're right. Well, we got to take our break. Poor old Fred Lucas is waiting patiently to talk to us about the myth of voter suppression.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the TAM Talk Radio Network.
This is the TAM Talk Radio Network.
Come on, baby, don't you wanna go?
Hey, we are back here on Freedom Work. We're so glad to be back after a week off the air. And Fred Lucas was very patient. We were going to have Fred on almost a week ago to talk about his great book, but a lightning strike changed our plans. And Fred, thank you very much for finding time to join us this morning. I think you've got a very interesting book here. It's called The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Tell us a little bit about what it is you're discussing in your book.
Well, I think at its core, Americans overwhelmingly support making it easier to vote, harder to cheat. But the left has just historically just in this past year, especially, they've doubled down in distorting every popular measure, such as voter ID, into somehow being voter suppression. And that's not the case. That's, the data shows that's not the case. If you look at some of these laws that were not really controversial laws that passed in 2021, they're pretty much common sense laws. They address expanding voter ID to absentee balloting. These laws called for curbing ballot harvesting, and it also called for more accurate voter registration rolls. However, these measures are things that the left opposed, so they tried to do tried and failed so far to a federal takeover with bills like H.R. 1 and so forth that would have wiped out most clean election laws. And I explain all this in the book, The Myth of Voter Suppression.
Indeed. And here's the thing. I don't know how. I think we all have a little bit in the back of our mind, a little bit of a question mark about whether or not there was enough what I would call voter trouble in the last presidential election, and whether or not Donald Trump has a legitimate case to make in some of these states, because there were, you know, some pretty close races in some of these states. I don't know if you do you talk at all about the 2016 election in your book, Fred?
There is some about the 2020 election in the book. However, it's largely that is in the rear view right now. What the book is primarily about is looking at future elections, mm-hmm. and making sure those are secure and have credibility with the country, because that's what you mean. The Democrats are all up in arms, publicly at least. They're putting forth this image of saying they're protecting democracy, and they're blaming Republicans for somehow undermining democracy.
Right.
What undermines democracy is when people don't have faith in the system. Basic election integrity laws, like the ones I mentioned, voter ID, stopping ballot harvesting, that instills faith in the system. And what we've seen over decades, really, last couple of decades in particular, is that as states have enacted voter ID laws, which Democrats have always called voter suppression, as states have enacted these voter ID laws, voter turnout has increased. And that's because more people have confidence in the system.
Right. Do you think Democrats want to take over, want a federal takeover of elections rather than allow each of the states to conduct the elections as they see fit?
Yes, and I think that's a big, big problem, because one of the things one of the ways that will keep elections on the up and up is a very decentralized system. That makes it it doesn't make it impossible, but it makes it very, very difficult to rig or cheat. And the Democrats have pushed for this through the H.R. 1, the Orwellian titled For the People Act. The better title of the nickname, the Corrupt Politicians Act. That particular bill would have eliminated voter ID laws at state levels. About 35 states have voter ID laws, so not just red states, purple states as well. It would also have a national mandate for election day voter registration, and allowed for enhanced ballot harvesting. That legislation is almost saying the quiet part out loud to Democrats. When you look at the provisions in that would have definitely made it very much easier to cheat. And that's obviously what we don't need. That's the type of legislation that would undermine democracy.
Got it. We're talking with Fred Lucas. He is the, first of all, he's the manager of investigative products for the Daily Signal, as well as being the author of a book called The Myth of Voter Suppression, The Left's Assault on Clean Elections. Fred, What do you think about the concept of mail-in ballots as far as the integrity of the election process goes?
Well, the book gets into quite frequently throughout is 2005, there was a bipartisan report, a lot of hoopla. Jimmy Carter and James Baker put this out, and one of the warnings in there calls for voter ID, for one, but it also said that mail-in balloting is the most prone to fraud, and it warned against too much mail-in balloting. Unfortunately, today, we are at a point where we are probably going to have mail-in balloting probably going to outpace in-person voting pretty quickly. And that's why these election integrity measures are so important. It is important to try to prevent ballot harvesting, for one. Most importantly, I think, because that's where so much fraud comes from. Secondly, I think it's very important to make sure those ballots are in at a reasonable time on election by election day, and that people request those ballots at a reasonable time. And a lot of these laws at the state level have done that. But there haven't been enough action taken on that front, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Another thing about the mail-in balloting process, it seems like it delays the vote count to some extent. Used to be, before any mail-in balloting, we would all go to the polls on election day, and pretty much by the next morning, give or take, we knew who won. But now, in certain states, I get the impression that we won't know, for instance, after these November off-year elections, we won't know who have won certain seats in Congress or maybe even in the governor's office for several days, maybe a week later.
Yeah, that is true. Of course, we saw after the Pennsylvania primary, we didn't know who won the Senate primary right away. That took about at least a week, I think. And then, D.C., but just next door is Maryland. I think it was the Montgomery County primary. Was delayed for a few weeks, and that was just a county primary. It's a big county, yes, but because of their mail-in balloting, they have all sorts of issues. So this does lead to a lot of bureaucratic problems. I mean, yes, mail-in balloting is more convenient for folks, but it's clearly not the best route. The Carter-Baker Commission warned us that, and warned us primarily about the integrity aspect of it, that it's the most prone to fraud.
Absolutely.
And it's something small-scale fraud. These people might get a ballot for their dead relative or something who is still on the roll, that type of thing. But in other cases, it is a wide-scale organized effort. And just people who deny that those wide-scale organized efforts exist, the book, The Myth of Voter Suppression, goes into detail about how these mail-in bogus or balloting scandals actually did tip elections. There was one of the more recent ones, 2018 North Carolina congressional race. That was a Republican candidate. So you would think Democrats would be on board with election integrity, but they're not. But there was a Republican candidate in that state who illegally won an election through a ballot harvesting scam. That result was voided after an investigation. But that was really only because North Carolina had laws in the books preventing ballot harvesting, and that prompted an investigation. It's the very same thing that happened in California or a few other blue states that encouraged that kind of thing. It would have never been caught.
Yeah. I just absolutely dread the concept to continue of mail-in balloting. I don't know if we can put the genie back in the bottle on this one, but if we could, I would love to see us return to the actual voting at the precinct, where you don't have all these hands grabbing your ballot between the time you fill it out and the time it's counted. Fred, finally, people want to buy your book. Where do they go to get it?
Yeah, please go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble or wherever you like. Look for The Myth of Voter Suppression. Either online, type it in, or ask for it at the table at Barnes & Noble.
Terrific. Well, thank you so very much, Fred. Thanks for putting up with our technical issues, and I look forward to talking with you again.
Thanks so much.
All right, sir. Bye-bye. All right, Fred Lucas. And Ed, I could hear him. I don't know how the quality is going over the air. It's going over okay? Okay. Maybe better than what I'm hearing in my ear. It's great. All right. Just learning as we go along, friends. We're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, New York, considering legal action against Texas for dropping off migrants in the Big Apple. We're going to hope to talk to our eye in the northern sky about it, Angelo Ceresi.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Steve Vaccaro, psychologist and host of the Chapters Wrap Live. Each live show will bring on top-notch guests from the nonprofit world. We are the advocacy show that provides a platform for other advocates. So please tune in on your drive home from work to share your voice. The Chapters Wrap, where unity and diversity meet one chapter at a time.
Listen to Kicking Unhealthy Relationships to the Curb at 5, Voices for Change at 6, Reach Out with Ray and Steve at 7, and the Chapters Wrap at 8, Wednesdays, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's the buzz in Tampa Bay? Senior Voice America Radio, a unique morning variety program delivering the latest commentary on politics by host and political analyst Tim Bryce and the up-to-minute happenings of Wall Street. Beyond politics and finance, they scale the scholar's rampart by including topics on religion and nutrition with thought-provoking guests and interviews. Tune in every weekday from 8 to 10 a.m. on this Tan Talk station. Senior Voice America, serving our nation's seasoned citizens for over four decades.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday. The studio, we are live. Yes, indeed. As live as we can be. Things getting better every day, hopefully with the quality. And so in New York City, their great mayor, Eric Adams, he said yesterday that the city is considering legal action against Texas because they're shipping these migrants from the Lone Star State right into the Big Apple. Here's what he says. Our legal team is looking at legal challenges we could do with Texas. He says, we believe there are some options we have because when you involuntarily place someone on a bus, we believe that that actually skates the law. He says, we're not leaving any stones unturned to make sure that New Yorkers are being treated in an unfair way. He meant to say are not being treated in an unfair way, of course. It begs the question, weren't the Democrats loading migrants onto planes in the middle of the night? Am I wrong about that? So, in other words, if a Democrat does it in the middle of the night, that's okay. That's okay. However, if a Republican does it, you're abusing people. So we've got our eye in the northern sky, who happens to be in New York, not in the city, but over in Rochester, New York, Angelo Ceresi. Angelo, what do you think about this Mayor Eric Adams and what he's trying to do here?
Hey, like you said, it's a double standard. It's okay for a Democrat to do something, but for a Republican to do something, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
That's abusing people.
Indeed. I'm thinking, first of all, have you noticed, Angelo, the media attention to the border crisis all of a sudden? It started as soon as, well, it started to pick up a little bit with the drop-offs in New York and some of these other places, Washington, D.C., and then Chicago. But then they go to Martha's Vineyard.
Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, those poor people in Martha's Vineyard. You must be feeling terribly sorry for them.
Oh, yes, I really, really do. probably the most where the most richest people in the United States live.
Yeah, you know,
Martha's Vineyard.
Barack Obama lives there. And I think somebody was trying to get hold of him and ask him if he wouldn't mind taking a handful of migrants and putting them in the coach house on his, what has he got, a $16 million mansion or something there?
Tells that these people, they become president, like Barack Obama, right? They're not multimillionaires. They go and become president, and all of a sudden they own these $16 million mansions, and they're multimillionaires.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Oh, it must have been good luck. I mean, I can't believe he made it all on the sale of his book. But that's what happens if you stay in Washington long enough, you become a millionaire, one way or the other. So, in the long run, Angelo, I don't know what the mood in the state of New York is, but do you think there's a good chance? Well, let's go to the governorship. We've talked about this before. The current governor, is it Hochul?
Kathy Hochul.
Does she have a fight on her hands with the Republican?
Well, I'll tell you what. Since she enacted this law in September where you cannot legally carry a firearm anywhere in New York State, she's got all these sensitive areas and restricted areas. You can only carry a firearm in your house or in your car, but don't go walk out of your car with it. So she's taken our Second Amendment and tossed it right out the window. You might as well just tear it up. The Constitution. She's destroying the Constitution, changing things all around, and with the migrants coming into New York City and everything like that, the illegal immigrants, hopefully there's a fight on her hands.
People
are realizing
what's
happening, what she has done to New York State.
So let me ask you this. If I understand what you just said, if you legally own a handgun, can I not take it and put it in my pocket and get out of my car and walk into a store?
No, you cannot. There has to be a sign saying that we concealed carry weapons are allowed in this store. If there isn't, you're a felon already.
So that the,
you cannot. You cannot carry it in
but
car.
Are you saying a business? A business?
A business, right. You cannot carry it in a business.
If the business has a sign that says it's okay, you're saying it's okay at that point to have a gun in the store?
Yes.
Well, then it's not a law. It can't be a state law that mandates if you allow the business owner to change the law, right?
See, they changed the law. You cannot carry anywhere in New York State unless there is a sign stating that.
Yeah, but the sign is from a private business. That sort of.
Right, but that's the law that they've enacted.
Okay.
The law states that if you want to carry, if a business wants to carry, if a business wants to have a person carry a concealed weapon, there has to be a sign in the window.
Yeah, but that's not going to work because what if I'm walking 2 miles from my house to the store that allows me to carry the gun? Can I walk the 2 miles with the gun in my pocket?
No.
Okay.
A public sidewalk is considered a sensitive area or a restricted
so
area.
So that law is not going to hold up. That's what I'm saying.
Well, by the time it gets to the Supreme Court, you know, it takes a long time, right? I mean, hopefully we can get people to start, you know, filing these laws, you know, filing a lawsuit. Because right now, she has destroyed our Second Amendment here in New York State.
Right. We're talking to our eye in the northern sky, Angelo Ceresi, about what's going on with New York and migrants and gun laws. Angelo, if Kathy Hochul, who's currently the governor of New York, if she's walking down the street with her bodyguards, are you telling me that her bodyguards cannot have guns?
Oh, no. They can. They can.
What's the difference? Why can they have guns and a private citizen not have guns?
Because she has taken her own. She says she's the governor. She can do whatever she wants.
Well, that's not going to hold up either.
See, really with the Supreme Court rule, the Supreme Court ruled that our law, the laws that were on the books, was unconstitutional. So she got mad at the Supreme Court. She defied the Supreme Court and came up with her own laws and the state legislature.
Wow.
Just like they did with the 2016 presidential election, where they come up with the laws to change the election laws and everything like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And just like when it got leaked about the abortion issue, the Supreme Court, these people are defying and lying about the Supreme Court. You know, the big lie. They talk about President Trump and the big lie that the election was this and that. Well, how about 2016? Wasn't that a big lie? But the media doesn't say anything like that. The big lie. The Mueller report, right?
Right.
The dossiers. All that was a big lie. But if you're a Democrat, it's not a big lie. You know? Yes. Only if you're a Republican is it a big lie. Just like they're doing, like you said before. If you're a Democrat, you get away with it. And if you're a Republican, you don't.
Yeah. Speaking of wandering around in big cities and guns, did you know that the Democratic candidate for mayor of Los Angeles, her name is Karen Bass. She's a black woman.
Right.
Did you know that she is now expressing misgivings about the safety of herself personally in Los Angeles after her home was burglarized last week? And this comes after a glowing remark where she would give the city a 10 out of 10 for safety. She's changed her mind. At one point, when she was asked about Los Angeles as she was running for mayor, she said, quote, "I do feel safe. I would say a 10 when asked to rate her safety. But I do understand that a lot of people around the city do not feel safe." So what happened? Somebody apparently robbed her, and listen to this. She had two firearms stolen from her home after announcing the burglary. Do you smell any kind of hypocrisy going on with Democrats' guns and their own personal safety?
Oh, absolutely. A bunch of many of them are carrying them.
Absolutely.
You know, I don't feel sorry for her because she probably voted in the recall for Newsom and voted for him. So these people in Los Angeles, San Francisco, you know, Hollywood, they all voted for Newsom in that recall election, right? He won again.
It's all of these gun control advocates that are politicians in particular, and also secondarily celebrities. They are actually surrounded by more guns than we want to ever know about.
Absolutely.
And it's such a hypocritical thing to talk about taking guns away from private citizens that want to follow the law and also would like to feel safe. This is why these laws are so... I don't think it's a good issue for Democrats. I would also say that if the Republicans talked about it in the right vein, I think the abortion issue is not a good issue for Democrats.
Well, you know, they have to stay on message. They have to say, you know, look, Adolf Hitler took guns away from the German citizens, did he not? He's the one that actually coined gun control. Right?
Who?
And when you take away the firearms, you know, from our American citizens, what protections do we have against a tyrannical government?
Yeah.
These people actually are communists. Kathy Hochul is a communist. Nothing more than a Nazi nor a communist. These Democrats and the Republicans have to start stating, look, they're taking away our constitutional rights. Do you still want the Constitution or not? Do you still want to live by the Constitution of the United States? This is what makes the United States, is our Constitution. And what they are doing is destroying our Constitution and destroying our country.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
And the Republicans got to start pushing that issue. They are nothing more than communists. You might as well hang the red flag with the hammer and sickle above the Capitol building in Washington.
Well, it's funny because Democrats call Republicans, what is it, Nazis? Neo-Nazis?
Semi-Nazis?
Whatever it is, huh?
Right, they're saying we're against democracy. They're the ones that are against democracy. Look what they're doing. Just get one of a copy of our Constitution. Go on the air and tear it up, just like Nancy Pelosi did the speech with President Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump's State of the Union speech. Well, here's all I know is that if I was a bad guy and I understood that you in New York that you could not carry a gun and go into a retail store, that'd be the store I'd rob because I wouldn't have to worry about anybody shooting me. You know?
Absolutely. Why do you think Adolf Hitler wanted to attack England during World War II? He didn't carry firearms. He knew that.
Yeah.
A soft country like England was a target for a madman. And people, you know, they don't teach World War II anymore. They don't teach in our schools what's going on. Only they teach critical race theory and how bad the United States is. They don't teach what America stands for. Yes, we've had our problems, this and that, but darn it, they're destroying our country. And it gets me so mad that I put the uniform on in this country and fought for our country and took an oath to preserve and protect the Constitution. And these commies are taking it away from us.
Yeah.
And the American people had better wake up. You got, what, 7 weeks before elections?
That sounds
America
about right.
America better wake up.
I know that I've always worried about socialism. It's a cancer. And once it gets into the system, it metastasizes, and that's what's happened. We most of us want it, you know. Oh yeah, I want Social Security. I don't want free markets with my retirement, and I want Medicare benefits. I want the government to provide me Social Security benefits. I want the government to give me health care benefits. See, that's the cancer, and after a while, we start enjoying it. And we don't realize it. Most people don't even think about that as a socialistic programs where the government, the federal government, is starting to dictate what you're going to get.
Well, absolutely. It's just like these gas prices. Why do you think these gas prices are going down? They're pulling these people. Oh, we're bringing the gas prices down. He's reducing our oil reserves, selling oil to China, right? It's just before elections, right? Then watch, after elections, these people still get elected into office, the gas prices are going to go up, the push to electric vehicles, which is somebody's making money on it, the Democrats, who else, right? They're pushing this electrical vehicles, everything. They're pushing all the socialism, and the American people are being blindsided. This is a communist takeover of America. That's nothing more than being taken over by the communists.
Wow. Angelo, it's always a pleasure. I'm sorry that we had all of the technical difficulties last Monday, but I'm glad you're back. And when we talk with you again next Monday, it'll be even better. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Always a pleasure.
All righty.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. Angelo, our eye in the northern sky. All right. Let's take our final break. And we're going to talk a little bit about the abortion issue and Dr. Phil. Do you know Dr. Phil? Stay tuned for that.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back. Freedom Works. Thank you so very much for being with us. And still getting through our technical difficulties here. We hope that you are hearing us well, wherever you are. By the way, Freedom Works. When things work right, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tan Talk Radio Network. And we thank you for taking the time to listen to us and finding us. However, if you cannot hear our show live, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website. He's got our shows there. They're on podcast. Just click on the podcast button. It opens up. You'll see the different shows. Most recent show at the top. Who's going to be the guest, the top 10, the whole bit. OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right, so... this thing about abortion, of course, Democrats are claiming that now that the Supreme Court has sent it back to the states, that somehow that means that abortions are outlawed. Of course, that's not the case. Every state virtually has allowance for abortion up to a certain point. Up to a certain point. Now, some are trying to change that where they would have no abortions under any circumstances. But even those states will recognize certain circumstances where abortion would be allowed. So to say that abortion would be totally banned is just not true. Having said that, there was, you know, this Dr. Phil, who's been around now for quite some time. Well, apparently he had an installment where the topic was abortion in the Supreme Court and their decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, send it back to the states. He had a pro-life activist on to interview. Her name is Lila Rose. And she sat down with the doctor, as well as a pro-choice couple, to talk about various facets of the law. And here's how some of this went. Dr. Phil said that nobody on the panel is, quote, pro-death or, quote, pro-abortion, instead labeling the divide as a disagreement between pro-choice and pro-life. He then turned to Lila Rose, the pro-life activist, and claimed there is no consensus among the scientific people about when life begins. And she said, yes, there is. She said 96% of scientists say that life begins at fertilization. And Dr. Phil began to talk over her. He said to her, no, there's actually not. But then she said, if you're an in vitro specialist, you're looking to create a single cell embryo, then you know you have a human life. So she said, it's a scientific fact. Again, Dr. Phil asserted there's no scientific consensus. So Rose asked him, Dr. Phil, when he thought life began. Dr. Phil couldn't come up with an answer. He replied it didn't matter what he believed. He called, then calling her claim about scientific consensus not true. So away they went, but she kind of nailed it. She kind of nailed it, I think. It's always hard for them to tell you when life begins. Excuse me, normally I have a cough button here. I don't think we have one right now. That's another thing we got to get back. So, my goodness, I think before we get to our top 10, Ed, I see that we've got about 5 minutes left here. I was very excited about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went to New Orleans and they played against a guy that we know something about, if I remember right. His name's Jameis Winston. He was the quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Did you enjoy and watch the game?
Jameis was our best player Sunday.
Yes.
I was rooting for him.
He threw some beautiful passes to
him. I was rooting for him.
Were you?
Yeah.
So What'd you think? Did Tom Brady look pretty good?
I think he looked good. I think a lot of injuries. I didn't expect Julio Jones to be out and Chris Godwin out. Chris Godwin's got a hamstring and Julio Jones has got a knee issue or something.
Oh, boy.
But not serious, but still. I'll tell you what they're missing. Gronkowski.
Yeah, and he retired.
Yeah. Here we go. Tom Brady's all-time just release. He's always there. And he can't find somebody. Or other guys are dropping passes, he goes to Gronk. I'll throw it to Gronk 10 times. You want to drop the balls, I'll throw it to Gronk.
Right.
But there were some balls dropped. He was very frustrated yesterday. You could hear him mouth, catch the damn ball.
He was getting a little upset, Tom Brady was.
We had a little fight, too.
I don't mind that in a quarterback. I really don't. It kind of keeps you on your toes.
Yep.
And also, real quickly, how are our beloved Tampa Bay Rays doing?
They're hanging in there. It looks like Seattle is starting to fall off, and so it's going to be between the Rays and the Jays.
The Rays and the Jays. We're talking about wild card spot.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, fair enough. Time for our top 10, Ed. Do the drums work, or are they also...
Yep.
Okay. This is the colleges with the best free speech environments. The rankings come from the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, and they surveyed nearly 45,000 college kids from over 200 colleges and asked them about the free speech conditions on their campus. This study was conducted in collaboration with the College Pulse, which is an online research company. All right. So here we go. Top 10 colleges with the best free speech. Number 10. Oregon State University in beautiful Oregon. Now, to get a ranking of perfect, you have to get 100. You have to get 100. Well, they got 67.4. Number 9, North Carolina State, which got 68. Number 8, Northern Arizona University, which got 68.5. Number 7, University of North Carolina, it got 68.7. Number 6, Claremont McKenna College, 72.7. Number 5, Oklahoma State University, 74.4. Number 4. You're really rolling with those drums, Ed. I really appreciate that. Number 4 is Mississippi State University, 74.7%. They're doing well. Number 3. Purdue University in Indiana.
Boilermaker.
The Boilermakers. Have a Boilermaker on me, 75.8. Number 2. Kansas State University. Ah, yes. Manhattan, Kansas. 76.2. All right. Here we go, Ed. Any idea?
Let's pick on Alabama.
That sounds good. It's actually the University of Chicago.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right in the heart of the city. Or I should say on the southern side of the city. And they came up with a score of 77.9. Wow. So hats off to the Maroons. That's their nickname.
Maroons.
They're the Maroons. Yes, they are. All right. Thank you so much. Hopefully things will be even better on Wednesday when we return. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
WZHR Zephyr Hills
FM 104.3.
Listen,
did you ever think about hosting your very own radio show? Here's how.
Hey Tampa Bay, did you know you can have a 1 hour program on the Tantalk Radio Network for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement on many Tampa Bay stations? That's right. We'll put you on the radio for less than the cost of one 60-second announcement.